States Postal Inspector. Your company, makers of your products, presents the distinguished actor, Mr. Warren Williams, in a series of case histories of actual authentic cases of United States Postal Inspectors. These words, written more than 400 years before Christ, have been the motto of men of the Postal Service for generations. They reveal the unshakable determination of U.S. Postal Inspectors. With a record as successful and unyielding as any Secret Service in the world, Postal Inspectors handle their cases quietly, with dignity, invariably bringing their quarry to justice. These stories will reveal for the first time cases of confidence rackets, frauds, robberies, and the countless other offenses which constitute crimes against the mails. And now, to introduce you to tonight's case, meet Warren William as Postal Inspector Jefferson Black.
Ladies and gentlemen, this case history, taken from court records, was an outgrowth of World War II. One of the vilest schemes ever perpetrated, it was directed against the wives, sweethearts, and parents of our soldiers who died in battle. Perhaps it happened to you. You'll hear the details after this brief word from our sponsor. Tonight's case began just a few weeks after World War II came to an end. On the 12th floor of an office building, two men were talking.
I tell you, Joe, we can make a mint of money.
Maybe so, Carl, maybe so, but how do we get the casualty list?
How do you get anything? A few bucks here and a few bucks there and you got them.
And then you send this form letter.
Right. Of course, each letter has to be typed individually. That gives it class.
And in this letter, what do we say?
Wait, let me read it to you. Then you can see how airtight it is. Here, I'll get it.
Okay.
Here it is. Now, listen. My dear Mrs. Abramson, we understand how deeply you must grieve over the death of your son, Jacob. Like thousands of other mothers, you do not even know where he is buried or whether his grave is properly marked. The National Grave Marker Company has been formed for the purpose of bringing happiness to the grieving parents, wives, and sweethearts of our fallen heroes. Our representatives all over the world will gladly cooperate in locating your son's grave. But more, they will erect a suitable marker and arrange for perpetual care. Think of what this will mean to you and your family. The fee for our services is small. For locating the grave, erecting a marker, and arranging for perpetual care, we charge the very nominal sum of $100. Kindly let us hear from you immediately, as our representatives are very busy and must adopt the rule of first come, first served. With deepest sympathy, National Grave Marker Company.
Oh, boy, that's a masterpiece.
Yeah, my mother always told me I should have been a writer.
Why, that letter'd make a crocodile cry.
The main thing is it'll bring in business. And that's what we want, isn't it, Joe?
That's what we want. Okay, chum, let's send them out. We're ready for business in... Oh, suckers.
Well, in the course of the next few weeks, thousands of these letters were sent through the United States mails to families all over the country. One letter was sent to a Mrs. Ida Smith, a resident of Prairie City. Her son, Ben Smith, D.S.C., had died a hero's death in the South Pacific. Mrs. Smith was a widow, and Ben had been her only son. She received the letter one February morning.
Mrs.
Here's your mail, Ida.
My goodness, Jim, you are good to me this morning, aren't you? Well, thank you.
It's all right, Ida. Good morning.
Now then, I'll get my glasses. Oh, where on earth I leave them? Oh, yes, they're behind the kitchen clock. Here they are. Now then, you look at all this mail. Let's see, there's a letter from Cousin Tessie in Oshkosh. One from Peggy Brineholm. Frank. National Grave Marker Company. Goodness, what can that be? Dear Mrs. Smith, we understand how deeply thousands of in our father think what this will mean to you and your family. We charge the very nominal sum of $100. Deepest sympathy, the National Grave Marker Company. $100. Of course I'll do it. Oh, Ben. Ben, they're going to find your grave and put up a cross. Put up a cross.
Well, good morning, Ida. What brings you down to the post office in such a rush?
Well, I want a money order, Clem.
A money order? Yeah, but I can tell you what you're buying a money order for.
Clem, you're no mind reader.
You don't have to be no mind reader in this business, Ida. You just work on instinct.
All right, Clem, you tell me then.
It's going to be for $100. It's going to somebody other than the city. Let me see now. It's the National Grave Marker Company.
My land, Clem, you startle me. How'd you guess that?
I'll tell you, Ida. You know, there's three boys from our town died in the war. There's Ruth Conklin, down the hollow, James Franklin, and...
And Ben.
That's right, Ida. Well, you know what the kinfolk of two out of three have already made out money orders for $100? Both within a couple of hours, too.
Well, it's a good thing, Clem. It's worth it every cent. How do you think it feels to have a son dead somewhere way out in the Pacific? You don't even know if they put a Christian cross over his head. Now, at least, I'll know his grave's tended. Yes, Clem, it's a good thing.
Well, Ida, I'm going to tell you just what I told the others.
What's that, Clem?
Only this. We got a pretty good government, haven't we?
Of course we have.
And Ida, it don't sound reasonable to me that they're going to neglect the graves of their boys. Especially since they gave up their lives fighting for our country.
Oh, Clem, they're too big and too busy. Why, all this atom bomb talk and all the worrying over the peace table. You can't tell me the government's going to have time to look after every grave and see they're well tended.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not, Ida. I ain't contradicting you. I'm only saying this here government of ours ain't going to neglect its heroes.
Well, thank you, Clem. Thanks just the same, but I'll still take my money order. It's worth $100 just to be safe. Maybe it's peace of mind I'm buying. Even though I need the money, I want to rest easy after I'm buried. I want to rest easy in my grave.
Back in the big city offices of the National Grave Marker Company, Carl and Joe were having a business meeting. They were elated. Business was booming.
You see, Joe? You see? Was I right or was I right?
you and Barnum were both right, Bart. Oh, boy, oh, boy. are these century notes piling up?
And in 3 weeks' time, we've taken in over $12,000. We haven't begun to cover the whole territory.
Well, let's get more help. Let's get out the whole list.
What's the rush? Let's milk them slow and easy. The slower you milk, the more the cream.
I'm for making a quick killing and getting out.
You're not scared, Joe.
Scared? Not me. Nobody can prove nothing, can they?
Of course not. We have a right to look for graves, haven't we? We have a right to put up a marker if the bereaved family requests it. We have a right to sell them perpetual care. Who's going to stop us, Joe?
Nobody, far as I can see. Only Carl.
Yeah?
Supposing somebody finds out that we ain't finding no graves, ain't putting up no markers, and ain't giving those graves no perpetual care. Then what, chum?
Who's going over to Okinawa or to Germany to see whether we did or not?
Well, into some law about hooking people through the United States mails?
Sure, there's laws, Joe. Lots of laws. There's laws on the statute books that you can't do this and you can't do that. And there was a prohibition law, too, once, remember?
Yeah, I remember. And lots of people broke it. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. If the cops were going to pinch everybody who broke a law, the jails would be so full they couldn't hold them all.
Carl, what about these postal inspector guys?
They're busy catching people who rob the mail or some poor guy who steals a 2-cent stamp from the post office. But when a couple of smart guys like you and I go into business, it's way above their heads. See what I mean?
Okay. I ain't worrying none. All I want is 50 G's, and then it's back to Flatbush. Get me?
You'll get it, Joe. I promise you'll have 50 G's to take out to the ponies. How's that?
50 G's?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, won't that be something. Okay, Pard, what you waiting for? Let's get out the mail.
Now, in spite of the fact that everything looked all right about this National Grave Marker Company, Clem Davis, the postal clerk, wasn't entirely satisfied. Clem believed in his country, his government, and he couldn't understand how or why people should have to pay to have the graves of their boys located and taken care of. On his first free day, he came to the city and called at the office of postal inspectors. He was referred to me, and I listened to his story.
So, that's it, Mr. Black. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know much about our government, but somehow just don't add up.
Of course it doesn't add up. It has all the aspects of a first-class racket. You're doing your job well, Clem. Prompt, intelligent action like this is a great public service.
Then my trip to the city has been worthwhile after all, yes. Just wait till I get back home till Ida. Why, she'll be mad enough to skin the hide right off those crooks.
Clem, what time does your train leave?
Oh, if one leaves in an hour.
All right, let's catch it. I'm going back with you.
You're going with me? Well, what do you aim to do, Inspector?
Have a talk with Mrs. Ida Smith, Clem. Now, while I get some records from the Army, you get us a couple of seats on that train. I'll meet you there before it pulls out.
Okay, Inspector. Anything else?
Yes, just one more thing, and it's pretty important, Clem. Keep this whole matter strictly confidential.
Inspector, I've just forgot how to talk.
Postal Inspector Jefferson Black will be with you again in just a moment. And now, for the second half of tonight's case, here is Postal Inspector Jefferson Black.
When we arrived in Prairie City, I went immediately to Mrs. Smith's residence. It was a quaint old house. And after a moment...
Good afternoon.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes?
I'm a friend of Clem's, Clem Davis.
Oh, friend of Clem's. Come right in, Mr.
Black, madam. Here are my credentials.
United States Post... Oh, Mr. Black, I hope Clem hasn't bothered you.
Well, it's no bother, Mrs. Smith, I assure you.
Well, you sit down over here.
Thank you. You know, Clem's a good friend of yours.
Well, I've known Clem for a long time. We grew up together. Yes, he's been a fine friend.
He took the time and the trouble to visit me in the city. He wanted to find out if what you'd done about this grave marker business was all right.
I told him not to worry about it, Mr. Black.
But I'm glad he did, Mrs. Smith. Because the facts of the matter should set your mind at peace forever.
Well, what did he tell
you? Clem told me that you were worried about where your son is buried, whether his grave was marked and cared for.
Well, what mother isn't, Mr. Black?
Well, just before I left the city, I checked with the Grave Registration Service. That's part of our army, you know.
Our army?
Yes. That's their job, to locate and mark and care for every grave of every boy who died for his country.
Well, I didn't know that.
Now then, yes, here it is. This is a picture of our national cemetery at Okinawa.
Row after row. Row after row. Lovely white crosses over every grave.
The records show that your son's grave is in the third row, fifth grave. You see, here it is right here.
Ben's grave. Ben. Oh, Mr. Black, made me so happy.
Well, you can see now that our government has done its job, Mrs. Smith. Is doing its job every day.
White cross. White cross. What did those people say in the letter?
I want to talk to you about those people.
They said they'd locate and mark.
Yes, of course they did. But now you know. Now you can see for yourself.
Clem was right. He was so right.
Mrs. Smith, I've come down here to ask your help. To ask you to help your government.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I want you to have the other two women who sent their money to these people here in your home this afternoon. I need your help and their help.
I'll have them here, Mr. Black. And you'll have our help, believe me.
True to her word, Ida Smith had the two other victims of the racketeering grave marker company at her home when I arrived. I showed them how they'd all been tricked into paying money for a service they never would receive from the grave marker company. As I spoke to them, I could see their eyes blazing with resentment.
What you say is true, of course, Inspector Black. I know that Sarah Conklin, Emmy Franklin, and me too, for that matter. Well, none of us are rich. But it isn't the money we lost. It's more.
It's losing our money, our respect for humanity to those people. That's what it is, Ida. Putting them behind bars isn't enough. They should be horsewhipped, tarred and feathered and run out of the country.
I know exactly how you feel about it, Mrs. Franklin. And you may rest assured that with the cooperation of you ladies, we'll see to it that they receive exactly what they deserve.
But that's only a prison sentence, isn't it, Inspector?
That's the punishment provided by the law, Mrs. Franklin.
Well, Inspector, what can we do to help you?
First, I must have the letters you received from this grave marker company. After that, I'll return to the city and prepare my case. Then you will be called to testify in behalf of your government. Well, ladies, how about it?
That's fine with us, Inspector. When you want us, just let us know. We'll be there.
I lost no time in confirming my suspicions about the National Grave Marker Company. I found it was operated by Carl Daroff and Joe Pennell. They were properly licensed, but of course had not located or marked a single grave. Not only that, both Daroff and Pennell had criminal records. Well, our evidence was almost complete when I had an unexpected visitor.
Just a moment, Mrs. Smith. I'll tell the inspector you're here.
Yes, Mary?
Inspector Black, there's a Mrs. Ida Smith here to see you. She says it's urgent.
Mrs. Ida... Oh, send her in, please.
Yes, sir. All right, Mrs. Smith, right in here. Thank you.
Well, Mrs. Smith, I didn't expect to see you again so soon.
Inspector Black, I came here as soon as I could. We'll have to hurry.
What seems to be the trouble?
It's Emmy Franklin. You remember her, don't you?
Yes, she's one of the ladies who signed complaints, isn't she?
That's right. Well, all week long she's been brooding about those crooked grave marker people and threatening to go into the city herself and tell them what she thinks of them.
I see.
I kept telling her it was wrong, that it might interfere with your work, and I kept her back, too, until...
Until?
Until this morning when I dropped in to see her, I found she was gone. She drove into the city and... I'm afraid.
So am I, Mrs. Smith. There's no time to lose.
Well, Joe, tomorrow morning's mail will be the end.
Yeah. Only $2,000 more to go.
Yeah.
But, Carl.
Yeah?
Maybe we ought to blow now. We don't need that extra dough.
We set our goal, Joe. Now let's keep to it. You haven't had any squawks from anybody, have you?
Not a peep. But, brother, there's thousands of dames all over the country who think they got a nice, pretty cross over somebody's grave.
Well, what they don't know won't hurt them, will it?
Nah, and you know, Carl?
What?
We brought them peace of mind, too. Peace of mind. Had to build a piece.
Sure, we've done them a favor.
Who's that? Someone at the door, Carl.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Just another sucker. Come in.
How do you do? May I come in?
Why, certainly, madam. These offices are open to the public. Chair?
Yes.
Now then, what can the National Grave Marker Company do for you?
Well, I hardly know where to begin.
Poor lady, you got a grave for us to find. Is there someone dear to you who won't return?
Yes, that's true.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Oh, I'm afraid you don't understand. I'm already a customer of yours.
A customer? You mean we...
I see, madam. We found the grave and erected the marker. Is that it?
Yes. You see, some weeks ago I received your letter. I sent in my money order for $100.
And your matter was attended to, I presume?
Well, I was notified that Jim's grave had been found and a cross erected. A white cross.
Well, that letter's official. That's it, then.
My husband died... somewhere in the South Pacific.
Oh, yeah, we got the South Pacific well covered.
Well, there's just one thing I want to know.
Yes? What's that?
Exactly where is my husband buried?
What did you say his name was?
Franklin. James E. Franklin.
All right. Joe, hand me that file, will you?
Oh, yeah. Now then.
Let's see. Franklin? Franklin? James E. Oh, here we are. James E. Franklin. Yeah, that's strange.
What's strange?
We don't seem to show his exact place of burial. I guess our operative in the South Pacific sort of slipped up this time.
I expected to hear a story like that.
Oh, what's the diff where he's buried anyway, lady? He's got a cross over his head, ain't he?
I don't know. Has he?
What do you mean, has he?
Just a minute, Joe. I can understand the lady's doubts. But, madam, you'll have to trust us. Why, we service thousands and thousands of graves. It's natural that we wouldn't know the exact location of every one of them, you know.
That all sounds very nice, mister. But there's one thing you forget.
What's that?
The Army.
The Army?
Yes, I found out about you. I found out that the Army does everything you claim to do. And free.
Where did you get that information?
Never mind where I got it. I also found out that you've swindled thousands of poor people. You ought to be shot.
What'd you come here for? To give us a lecture?
No. I just wanted to see the kind of men who do a thing like you've done. I wanted to see you once before they send you away.
Before they... Hey, Carl. What's she talking about?
I think I'm beginning to see. You wouldn't be thinking about turning us in, would you, lady?
I fully intend to, you cheap crooks. I'm going to testify against you and see that you're behind bars for a long time.
You're...
Just a minute.
Easy, go, Joe. She's got a gun.
And I know how to use it, too, so keep your distance.
Now, Mrs. Franklin, there's no need to get excited.
Keep back, I told you.
I'm not going to hurt you. I just want
to... I shoot, I tell you.
It's a different story now, isn't it? With a gun in my hand.
That was too close for comfort.
It's all right, Joe. I got everything under control.
Well, let's blow while we still can.
Sure. But there's one little detail first. Mrs. Franklin here.
What about her?
She can identify us, Joe. And since she's the only one of our customers that's ever seen us, well...
No, you wouldn't.
Wouldn't I? I can use a gun, too, Mrs. Franklin.
Listen, Darrow, I ain't having none of this. Let's blow.
And leave her to set us up for a federal rap. Don't be foolish, Joe.
I ain't chancing a murder rap, I tell you. Give me the gun.
I do the thinking around here, Joe. We'll do it my way.
You've been doing too much thinking. I said, give me the gun.
Get out of my way, you fool, or I'll let you have it.
We'll see about that if it's... Yeah.
Okay, wise guy. You asked for it.
Oh! Oh, you... You shouldn't have...
Come back, you!
Drop it, Darrell. You're under arrest.
Who are you?
U.S. Postal Inspector. I have a complaint charging you with using the mails to defraud. Now we'll just add a little matter of murder. And so ended the careers of Carl Daroth and Joe Fennell in death. Joe died at the hands of his partner in crime, and Carl was convicted of murder and sentenced to death by electrocution.
In just 60 seconds, Warren William will return with a message of vital importance. But first, and here again is Warren William.
Ladies and gentlemen, reporting a fraud or any crime after it has happened is not enough. Try to help by anticipating. If you have reason to suspect any schemes put to you through the mail, see your nearest postal inspector. He wants to help you, and he will if you'll only give him a chance. Next week, I'm going to tell you the history of one of the most thrilling and unusual cases a postal inspector ever worked on. Known to most of you as the Rondout mail robbery, we know it as the case in which over $3 million were stolen and many lives lost. So, to learn the way in which several postal inspectors combined efforts and brought these criminals to justice, won't you be with us again next week?
United States Postal Inspector is written, directed, and produced by Robert Webster Light, with a writing collaboration of Ken Crepine. Names, places, and events have all been changed so that no reflection can fall on any person, living or dead. Tune in again next week for another authentic story of United States Postal Inspector.